Wasn't that wonderful? I don't think we've been able to hear Jonathan play with his mom for quite some time. He's been off to school, so it's a real gift to us to have them both play. And I'm just glad they're here and they have the talent that they have to share with us. Hey, I've got a God sighting I just got to tell you about. Really got nothing to do with today's message, but this is just a sight. So this past week, I had a chance to go visit someone who was in the hospital, and it was an older gal, and I went up with Karen, and as we were up there, we walked in, and she was sitting up and feeling pretty good, and she was glad to have some company, and we were glad to visit with her. And so we exchanged some, you know, pleasantries, and it was very nice, and then she said, you know, I have to tell you something. I heard the doctors talking, and she said, I have a blood disorder, and I'm not going to be going home. And it caught me, you know. And then she said, you know, I really thought that the Lord would have me around a lot longer. But I guess he doesn't, and that's his plan, so I'll eat my chicken. And I got to tell you, what a joy it is to be with someone who has walked with the Lord Jesus their entire life and who has rested upon him through all the thick and thin and the trials and struggles of this life, to come to the point where she believes that she's going home and it's okay. I'll just go home and I'll see my master. That is an amazing faith, and what a privilege it was to hear her speak these words. And I just had to share that with you. And I share it as an encouragement. When we're rested on the Lord, I want to live and I want to come to my end that way. When I come to know the time has come, if God sees fit, I want to be able to say, yeah, I wanted a little more time, but it's okay. I'm going to eat my chicken. So anyway, God, I had to share that with you. God is at work. It's exciting stuff to me. Well, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And today, you know, that's the day that we have set apart to honor and uplift fathers and the influence that fathers have in their families and throughout society. And I trust that and hope that you have some fun thing planned, some fun way to spend with your father or your dad. I know I'm looking forward to spending the day with Karen, and I think we're going to go on a little bit of a kayaking adventure, so that should be a lot of fun. Now, as Steve mentioned a little earlier, I understand that as is true with Mother's Day, I realize that Father's Day can be a painful day for some. Perhaps you've recently lost your dad. Or maybe today you're reminded of all kinds of hurts that came your way because of your dad. And given those memories, or maybe even your present reality, you might find yourself feeling rather cheated by the uplifting of fathers and fatherhood. Perhaps even a little cynical, feeling sort of down, thinking, if only. Yeah, if only he'd been there. Or if only he hadn't done this. Or if only he had done this. And there's no doubt, there's no lack of evidence that there are lots of ways that men can corrupt and have corrupted the notion of fatherhood. And they've cheapened its impact through their sinful ways, and they've cheapened the impact and importance to their family and to their culture. So as we enter into a Mother's Day or a Father's Day, we recognize that for some it is a painful moment. And so I wanted to take just a moment to offer up a word of prayer very quietly for those who may hurt today, who may be thinking some of those thoughts about their dad. So will you bow your head and join me? Father God, we recognize that there are some for whom father has very harsh connotations. We recognize that for some there is a loss that they experience today and they're reminded of. But Father God, I pray that your spirit of comfort would rest upon those who find this day hurting. And I pray, Father God, that you would lift up for them their spirit and make your tangible presence known to them. And I pray, Father God, that they would be able to recognize the great joys that can be in fatherhood, even in the midst of the pain or sorrow that they feel in the day. I entrust them into your care, for there is no name greater than yours to whom we could ever entrust them. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, with that said, even though we recognize that there are fathers who fail, and who fail miserably in their role and their responsibilities, I think we need to be careful that we don't let the sinful actions of some stop us from upholding the godly role of fatherhood and calling men to noble manhood and noble fatherhood. So the hope I have in speaking to dads this morning is really twofold. My first hope is that by taking some time to talk about fatherhood, we'll get a chance to highlight a role for men that's honored in Scripture, and perhaps even encourage men to continue to pursue excellence in their fathering. And I don't think you can go wrong by honoring what God honors or by encouraging others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 reminds us, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. I think you can do a lot worse than encouraging one another. Amen? Okay, you're still out there. Good, good, good. Now, my second hope in speaking to dads this morning is that it might provide an opportunity to call men away from their failures in leading their family, and to call them into the arms and the grace of God. To speak of fatherhood allows us dads a moment to examine ourselves, and if need be, to turn away from patterns that are not in keeping with God's word, and to ask for God's forgiveness, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, having been granted the promise of his forgiveness, to ask God through the Holy Spirit to set our hearts and minds back upon Jesus so that our fathering may be redeemed and restored and renewed and reinvigorated, all to the glory of God and for the benefit of our family. So with that in mind, I want to take some time to share some thoughts with dads this morning. And I'm going to ask the others to just listen in. Now guys, as I'm sure you know, the Bible has a good deal to say when it comes to father. The Bible has a ton to say to us about every role in our lives. But this morning, I'm going to highlight just a few things. So for example, Scripture says this in Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 21. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now, to be clear, this word wasn't simply for fathers. But fathers play such an important role, and they played such an important role in Hebrew culture that they were responsible for their families. They were primarily held responsible for the instruction and training of their children. And fathers today play an important part in carrying out this responsibility as they lead their households. And the essence of the passage is pretty straightforward. Dads, our first responsibility is to be living our lives for the Lord. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. And this is well in keeping with God's command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 and Matthew 22. If we're going to be godly fathers, we must first have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship must be central to who we are. And it must be growing. Even if fits and starts, it must be growing. Because we're called, it says, to fix God's word in our hearts and minds. That implies a resolve to follow and a commitment to continue to follow him. And with hearts and minds fixed on the Lord Jesus, verse 19 here tells us that we're to teach our children to love the Lord as we do. And how could it be any other way? The truth is, you can't lead where you're not willing to go. If you like cars, trust me, you're teaching your kids about your love for cars. If you love to hunt and fish, you love sports, trust me, it's pouring out of you. Your kids know that you love to hunt and fish and do sports. If it's music, they know you love music. Do they know you love the Lord? Is it pouring out of you? Are you passionate about that walk with Christ? If so, your kids will catch it. They'll see it. They'll understand what Dad wants. You know, I used to drive my kids in the car. They always knew this was the perfect time to talk with them. I think sometimes when I would say to them, hey, I got to go to Stewart's to get milk, they'd go, oh, no. Oh, no. So I'd pop them in the car. Usually only took one. You, I'm on my way to Stewart's. Come, join me, child. And they'd hop in the car. It was a great training tool. Short distance, but I had them. They can't get out. And I'd play this game when they were younger, and I would ask them, tell me, what do you think Dad wants for you? What does your dad want for you? And when they were younger, they'd say, well, they want me to obey Mommy. You want me to obey Mommy? Yeah, yeah. And you want me to work hard at school? I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, is there anything else? No, no. That's it, I'd say. I want you to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what I want. The other stuff, oh, it's important. But I'd love you to come to know the Lord and Savior. And as they got older, we'd still have these rides. The issues became more complex over the years. The rides a little longer. We'd have to find Stewart's down in Highland, you know, Newburgh, depending on the topic. They got to know all the all the Stewart's in the area. And as they got older, I started to watch that transformation in them, and I could say, so tell me, what do you think I want for you? And they would start with, you want me to know Christ. I'd say, yeah. Do you know Christ? Not because you're in a pastor's household, but because you know Christ as your own. I wanted desperately for them to catch what I love. The other things for me are negotiable. They are all in the hands of God. I want them to know Jesus. And this scripture tells us that this teaching that we're to do, it's to be done through every day, in the everyday circumstances of life. And this means that godly fathers don't live in isolation from their children. We engage them to train them up in the knowledge and instruction of the Lord. Now, in cop circles, this kind of training is called reality-based training. They take an officer who's got some basic skills, and then they stick him in a scenario. And as they're in that scenario, they have a trained officer in the background who's watching their moves and saying to them, okay, afterwards, this is not the way to go. You should have done this. You should have done this. You could have done this. These are some of the other options. I don't know if you noticed there was someone behind that door. Fathers, we're called to do that reality-based training with our children, to be engaged in their lives and to walk alongside them and to point out where the Lord is at work. Now, if that is in the beauty of a sky, of a sunset, that what an opportunity to talk about God's creativity. What an opportunity to talk about our maker God who gave us such a beautiful world. Or maybe it's to make sense of a dust-up they just had with their brother. To be able to talk them through the process of reconciling with their brother, and then maybe taking some time to tell them what true forgiveness is. I remember sitting with a child and looking him in the eye and having to say, I know you said something to your mother because I am home early. I need to know it all. I need to know every word. And they would forget I don't know. Was I speaking? I've lost track. And it's not so much that I wanted to hear what they said, but it's very hard to offer God's forgiveness if you don't know what has happened. It's very hard if they only give you a portion of what occurred to then offer complete forgiveness because you've only got a piece of the mosaic. So I'd rather hear every word. Tell me every word. And then we'd work our way through that so that we could say at the end, okay, this is what happened, and I forgive you. Now that means something. And along the way in that reality-based training, we're trying to show them, come to your Lord, taste and see that he is good. Share with him what you've done. He knows anyway. Share with him, talk with him, tell him you're hurt, because he's promised to forgive you. And so the hope is in a reality-based training of our children that we're walking along and we're telling them about the Lord and we're explaining to them how God is at work in their circumstance. So dads, how's your relationship to the Lord? Are you distant from him these days? I would encourage you, make that right. Get back in line with God's calling to you. Are you growing in that relationship? Has it grown cold? And seek to reawaken that. Come to God. Ask him to fill your heart with his Spirit yet again. Draw you into a closer relationship to him. And dads, are you engaging your kids so that they can come to know and love the Lord as you do? They will catch what pours out of you. They will see it. And the Bible also says this in Psalm 103:13. It says, as father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So dads, while we're engaged in this reality-based training, we're to show compassion to our children as a way of modeling for them the compassion that Christ has for them. So they'll be better able to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ listens to the cries of their heart. And he cares about their needs and their hurts and their thoughts and their struggles. And I recognize this can be a tough one for us because we're often moving so fast and feeling pulled in so many different directions that we're heading to work or we're just getting home from work or we're starting this project or that project or we're just sitting down and settling into some much-needed downtime. It can be hard. It can be hard to slow the pace and listen carefully so that we can be compassionate to the needs of our children. But if we're not compassionate, we risk provoking our children. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, it says in Ephesians 6:4, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, while we're training up our kids, we're to be careful that we don't act in a way that needlessly angers or discourages our children. And I know in my own fathering, it was very easy for this man to lose track of the end goal and to be more concerned with a quick resolution to the chaos that sometimes reigned in my home. I know that it was important to get back to the important stuff. But so often, in my heart of hearts, it was more important that I get back to the not-so-important stuff. The stuff that wasn't important in an eternal sense. More often, it was simply my desire to have them obey or follow instruction or the like was simply to so I could continue doing what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do, and how I wanted to do. Correcting them and listening sometimes was just too much work for me. I tended to do better with my boys when I slowed the pace of my own life and reminded myself again what the end goal was for my kids, that they would come to know and love and follow Jesus Christ. And oh, what a blessing it was to have Karen in my life, because she seemed to have a very clear sense of the end goal. And when I lost track of it, Dad, she was there to say, no, that's the end goal. Dads, how are you doing with the pace of life? Are you finding yourself enabled to be compassionate? You got the time to be compassionate? Or are you finding you're discouraging? and frustrating your kids as you engage them in this reality-based training. Now, these are just a couple, three things that God's Word tells us about being a godly father. There's so much more. And I believe that we would do well, men, to take these seriously and put God's Word into practice into our families. But dads, I also believe that the best thing that you can do for your children is to love their mother. It says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, I know that this doesn't say, fathers, love your wives. But the truth is that the Bible sees the marriage of a man and a woman as the God-honoring context for the raising of children. So a command to husbands would most certainly be applied to fathers. And the command here is clear. Husbands, love your wives. And the motivation for this command is equally clear. We are to love just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And herein, I think, we see two things. The first is this. Notice that Jesus loved with a purpose. And that purpose was to bring the church, God's people, before God as a holy and blameless offering. As an act of worship, he would bring the church to God. Men, just as Christ loved with a purpose, we're called to love our wives with a purpose. We are to love our wives so that they might have every opportunity to grow in godliness and to serve and become everything that God has intended them to be, rather than to be a hurdle to their growing in Christlikeness. We love with purpose when we encourage our wives in their time in the Word and prayer, when we find ways to help them make that time. We love with purpose when we help our wives get the rest they need, that they might not grow weary in doing good, and recognize, dads, that mom's working hard. She's working hard. We love with a purpose. We love with a purpose when we take our relationship with the Lord seriously, and when we are praying for our wives. I want you to think on that, men. We love our wives purposely when we take our relationship with the Lord seriously. I don't think you can underestimate the encouragement it is to our wives when they see a man, their husband, focused and guided by the Word of God, desiring to serve him, to love him, to follow him. Because she knows in her heart of hearts, as a believer, that the more that man focuses on the Lord, the better able he is and better equipped he will be to pour out his love on his wife and his family. But when that gets shattered, when that relationship is no longer key, men, we have a way of shooting off to the right and the left. And the thing that can empower our ability to love our wives as we're called to love them is left as secondary, put on the shelf. And we can love our wives purposely when we encourage them and uplift them and honor God's unique calling upon their lives and to his service. To see the way your wife is growing in the Lord and encourage that. To see the way your wife is serving the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging that and lifting that up and saying, oh yeah, keep doing that, babe. Keep doing that. The second thing that stands out to me here is that Jesus sacrificed himself for our sake. It was by way of his sacrificial life and death that Jesus demonstrated his purposeful love and brought God's people before God as holy and blameless. Dads, you and I, we're called to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of our wives.
We're called to go the extra mile for our wives so that she might be lifted up. This may burden you, man. It may. This might mean not going for that promotion so that you have the time you need to spend with your wife. Might mean making sure that you're home for meals, changing up your schedule as you are enabled, and making the time to talk through the day's challenges. This may mean being the one willing to start the process of reconciliation when there is a problem at home, and not sitting back and waiting as the hurt and bitterness grow, and waiting somehow for your wife to start the conversation, because that'll assuage your pride. It may mean stepping into the gap and saying, we have a problem, and I'm willing to work to make it change. The form of the sacrifice is going to be different for each one of us. But you know, guys, you all know what it is that you uplift and what you treasure. You know that. You know what you hold fast to. And I believe, as a godly man, you also know, in your heart of hearts, you know what God may be calling you to lay aside for the benefit that it will bring to your wife and your family. The question is, will you sacrifice you for the sake of them? Will you sacrifice you for the sake of your wife? Brothers, in the end, this is a call to be courageous. And most men, in their heart of hearts, long to do something significant. Now, I've counseled with a lot of men over the years, and I believe, unequivocally, 99.9% of men want to be warriors. They want to achieve great things. In my time, I've only come across one man out of the many, many men I've talked with who chose to be mediocre. Chose it. And he was working fine at it. But that's rare. Most men desire to do and accomplish something big. To love your wives as Christ loved the church, purposely and sacrificially, is truly significant. It's big. And it's truly courageous. For greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I believe that you will find that as you set your heart to loving your wife, the challenges of fatherhood will be made easier. Not perfect, but easier. Husband who loves his wife sacrificially and loves his wife purposely is going to have a more stable and unified household in which to train up their children in the way they should go. Unity is a wonderful thing in a house. Unity provides a greater opportunity for the kids to learn what they must, because they're getting the same messages from mom and dad. It's hard to learn the proper lesson when you're receiving a different lesson each time. I learned this when I was fencing. I'm a fencer. I fence. Okay? Not anymore. It hurt my back. But I really used to enjoy it. There's nothing like standing across from somebody. I mean, maybe you won't relate to this, but guys, nothing better than putting on your helmet and getting ready to stab somebody. You know what I'm saying? Attack them. Ha! Feel like Robin Hood. It's the best thing going. But the problem I had with fencing was this. I had some good instructors, but they were all different. So there's a lot of form in fencing.
Yeah, I try to do it, but I look ridiculous. Okay?
A lot of form in fencing. The problem is, every week I would come and I'd get a different instructor, and that instructor would show, oh, no, you do this. You raise your hand up this way. You have to turn your helmet this way. You have to attack this way. You have to move this way. Okay. So I'd go home and I'd practice fencing, you know, people in my mind, like this. And then I'd come in the next week, and as I got ready to fence, I'd get in position, and my instructor would say, no, no, you have to put your hand down here, and you have to tilt your hand out like this, and you have to put your foot this way. Okay, got it. And then the next week, I'd have another instructor. No, 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 you got to put your foot out this way. You got to put your hand up this way. You got to do this. After a while, you couldn't get the muscle memory. I couldn't. Because every instructor did it a little differently. But when you're unified, the message will be the same. The instructor will be a little different in how they get the message across, but the message will be the same. And it's already
It's already hard enough to teach and guide and train up a child in the way she should go. But if that relationship between mom and dad is unstable, on top of that, the task is made crazy hard. Now, I'm not very good at house projects. In fact, I'm terrible at house projects. But when I do a house project, I am made worse when I have to stand on an unstable ladder. Okay? How much better for me to use my mediocre skill on stable ground? And I can think very clearly, oh yes, I've mismeasured yet again. Okay? The men at Home Depot all know me. Hi, how are you? Yeah, I'm terrible. Okay? But if the ground's moving too, then I can guarantee you that my mediocrity in doing those home projects is gonna look even worse. It's gonna look even worse. So dads, if our primary calling as fathers is to train up our children that they might know and love and live for Christ, being a father who is committed to loving his wife sacrificially and purposely as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her is going to be a key to accomplishing your calling. The best thing you can do is love your wife. So let me leave you with this, guys. Dads, being a father is truly a noble task. It is a privilege beyond measure. And it demands a great deal from you. But it is doable. First, love the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Spend time with Him in the Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Make yourself dependent on Him. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then brothers, friends, come to know Him. Know that He is good. Taste and see. Give your heart to Christ, the one who would hang on a cross and die for your sake to pay the penalty for your sin, that you might be in relationship with God and no longer liable to God's wrath. And second, men, dads, love your wife. Love your wife purposely and love your wife sacrificially. Be courageous. Oh, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Love your wife and lead your family. And third, set your heart on training up your kids through the circumstances of life that they might have the best opportunity to learn and love and live for Christ. Don't wait for a Sunday school moment to teach your children about living a life in Christ. Don't wait for that. You have all of your days as they are growing up to train them up and to walk with them and engage them and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Pour yourself into them. So there you have it. Men, you have some marching orders. And as a friend of mine once said to me, you got a plan? Yeah, I have a plan. Execute the plan. Happy Father's Day, man. Peace and blessings. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your word that's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. I thank you, Father God, that you have not left us alone to the task of parenting, but rather you have provided your word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have shown us that we can do what you call us to do, but we need to be dependent on you. Father, help us to cast aside the distractions that keep us from loving our wives as we should, purposely and sacrificially. Father God, draw us into an ever deepening, an ever closer relationship to you. And we pray that all of this would be to your praise and to your glory and to your adoration. Amen and amen.